outside ledge, and they said, well, I'm up now on the 80th floor of this building, and look here, I'm holding on to this building. Now, wouldn't we think that was foolish? Matter of fact, the first time a bunch of pigeons come by or the wind blew good, you're liable to fall off if you're holding on to the building. What's the smartest thing to do? Just step inside the building, let the building hold on to you. Amen. It ain't nothing for you to hold on to, but I will tell you this. There are some things that you do have to try to hold on to in this life. And I'll tell you this, your fellowship with the Lord is one thing that has to be held on to and fought for, and I mean as hard as you possibly can. Amen. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2. Kind of all up in the air about what to preach on tonight. And we're talking about that at lunch today. And I don't understand. Sometimes I wish the Lord would just send me a text message or something, you know, and be like, there it is right there. And I've heard some preachers say, well, he'd give you a message right out of the text, brother. Well, that's good. I got a message right out of the text. But it'd be nice if he said, this is the very thing I want you to do. But I'll tell you this, I do know this, and let me just say this first before we read a text tonight. I will have to preach a little bit long. Amen. Now, the reason I got to do that is because we had too many people from Pleasant Grove show up tonight. And if I come over here and preach something short, like 45 or 50 minutes, then they're going to be getting on to me next Sunday. All right? About 15 minutes past that first hour, they'll start getting mad and say, well, now, when you went over to New Hope, you didn't do it like that. And all, you know, so. Amen. That's right. So, yeah, we'll definitely keep it under an hour. Amen. I'm joking about all that. But I appreciate Pleasant Grove folks showing up tonight. I appreciate New Hope folks showing up tonight. I want to try to help you. Look right here in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to tell you, this is something that we all need to get a hold of tonight. And you say, Brother Jared, I've been saved a long time, and you need to get a hold of this tonight. Say, Brother Jared, I ain't been saved too long, then you need to get a hold of this. You say, but I'm a Sunday school teacher. Well, you need to get a hold of this tonight. Or I'm a preacher. You need to get a hold of what we're going to say tonight. About every preacher I know, we're going to start reading in verse number 41, I think. I've heard just about every preacher I know preach a message on this at one point in time, but it's something I think we need to be reminded of tonight. Luke chapter 2, verse number 41 says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintance. And the Bible says there in 45, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us for the next little bit. And Lord, you'd help us get a hold of what's being taught here. And Father, I pray, Lord, you'd give me unction and liberty to preach. And Lord, that it would be led by the Spirit of God. Lord, that you ultimately would be pleased with what's going on here tonight. And Father, if there's just one or two people that get a hold of this, Lord, it sure would be worth it. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd touch these folks that's come out on a Monday night, Lord, to try to hear something. And Father, Lord, broke up their week and their schedule, Lord, to come here and hear preaching. I thank you, Lord, for letting me preach tonight. That's a real privilege and it's an honor. And I pray, God, that you would use it for your honor and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, right here in this passage, again, we're pretty familiar with this. We've not heard anything in the life of Jesus for the last 10 years up until now. When those wise men came and visited him and brought him the gifts, and about 10 years later, we kind of get a glimpse in when he's 12 years old. We just get kind of a little snippet of what's going on, and then it picks back up when he's about 30. But I believe that there's some important things that we ought to get and some good teaching, I guess you'd say, and preaching from this text here that we need to try to get a hold of here and apply to our lives as Christians. Now, one thing I want us to look at here, this is an odd thing to have happened, and if we got parents in here, you'd agree this is a rather unusual thing to have happened, is Mary and Joseph have lost Jesus. Is that right? Did you read it right there in the passage? Is that what happened? Now, I don't know if you've ever lost your child. We've not lost ours yet, thank God. And or if you've ever, you know, I remember one time I was scared to death, man. I was making a hospital visit with Dad one time. We went up to the hospital and the elevator opened up, and I was about Jack's age, and the elevator opened up like that, and I thought elevator was the coolest thing in the world when I was a kid. We didn't get out much, but when that thing opened up like that, I just jumped up on it. And I hit number one, and I watched as my daddy just faded out of sight when that thing closed. And I remember, that's about as lost as I'd been as a child, you know. But it started going down, and he told me later on, he said, I could hear you screaming all the way down that elevator shaft. And he told me later on, he said, I was hollering, son, just hold on, daddy's coming. But I was hollering so loud I couldn't hear him. So, but I mean, hey, it's easy to misplace something even when it's important to you. You ever lost something important to you? Now let me tell you this and preface this tonight. Now, we know this, we're in a Baptist church, more specifically in an independent Baptist church. Amen? Amen. And I know that we understand that you can't lose your salvation. Could you say amen right there? Again, I know we've already talked about that a little bit, but you can't get unsaved once you get saved. When the indwelling Christ comes into you, he ain't going to come back out. I mean, it's just like that. But I will tell you this. You can sure enough lose your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look at this passage a little bit. Now, they've lost him, and I want to look at it in the sense of them losing him, losing fellowship with Jesus Christ. First thing I want to say is this, is let's look at the people that lost him. The people that lost him. The Bible says in verse number 41, it says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So the people that lost him, you know what? It's his very parents that lost him. You ever thought about that? It's his mother and his stepfather that have lost him. Now I'm going to tell you this. If his parents can lose him, if they can lose sight of him in the midst of everything going on and even going to do a good thing, and we'll get to that later on, if they can lose sight of him, if his mother and his stepdaddy can lose sight of him, I want to promise you something. You too can lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, it's easy to do, and they're close to him. They've been entrusted to keep their eyes on him, and now they've lost sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, I mean, that's the type we're going to draw tonight. So I want you to think about it. You think about yourself tonight. And I want you to think about, have I lost sight of Jesus Christ? I mean, in the midst of everything going on, have I lost sight of him? Now listen, I'm going to tell you, y'all, if his mama can lose sight of him, my wife is one of them hovering parents. Y'all know what I'm talking about? She won't let the kids do anything. She won't let them do anything without her just hovering over, and she's peeking out the window. I mean, we'll have the air running at the house, and she'll have the window up. If Jack will be right outside the window, and she's looking out at him. Tell her, please, let's do one or the other. Go out there, we got to shut the window. You know what I mean? We're paying for this stuff. I'll tell you this. If a mother can care that much about her son and lose sight of him, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, you can lose him too. Amen. You can be a preacher and lose sight of Jesus Christ. Amen. I've known them. You say, what do you mean you've known them? I've known one very, very, very personally that looks at me in the mirror when I'm shaving and brushing my teeth. Yeah. That has been in the pulpit preaching, trying to help somebody else, and have lost sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if a preacher that has to be day in and day out in the Word of God and studying and trying and praying and preparing, if they can lose sight of the Lord, friend, you can lose sight of Him too. Amen. Sunday school teachers can lose sight of the Lord. People that sing in the church, faithful church members, deacons, can lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. If his mama can lose sight of him, you can lose sight of him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know what? I went through this when I first went over to the church. Let me just confess this to you. When I first went over to Pleasant Grove, I started going through something early on, and the Lord started showing me, we're going to have to get a grip on this. You know what started happening? I'd preached a lot. The Lord had opened up doors. I preached over here. I'd preached over there. When Brother Dennis was there pastoring, and the Lord had opened up some doors, preach around, go some places and preach. I'd put together sermons and stuff like that. What I was not doing, now just listen to me, what I was not doing was I was not putting together a Sunday school lesson, Sunday morning sermon, Sunday night sermon, and Wednesday night lesson, sermon, whatever you'd call that. Is everybody with me so far? So I knew that was going to be a trying test when I went over there. I knew that was going to require a lot of effort and reading and all that. So what I did is I started falling into a trap that I've had to warn other guys since then to not fall into. Here's what it is. You've got to gather and get together information. You're getting together sheep food, if you will, all week long. And you got to get it and gather it and all that. And I've got one notebook that I'll just scribble all these thoughts down in. That nobody in here could make out what it means in any of that. I mean, including myself. I just scribble it all down there. I got another notebook that I'll try to transfer it to and get it, you know, where it's kind of put together where you could give it to somebody else. You know what I began to find myself doing, Brother Dennis? I needed so bad to find something to give to somebody else. And I would take it in, and you know what the Bible started turning into, brother? It wasn't this love letter from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it wasn't the book that was feeding my soul. It started turning into a text book. I've got to find something to preach. I've got to find something to give to somebody else. Do you know what happens during that time when you fall into that rut as a preacher? It won't be long and you'll have your eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll have it on everything else going on. I got to find something to preach. I got to find something to preach. And the very thing that could be feeding that preacher and helping him as an individual has now turned into nothing more than a textbook. I've got to find something to give to somebody else. Amen. Thank God that he showed me that. And I'm going to tell you this, friend. Your Bible can turn into the same thing. Your Bible can turn into the same thing. Well, I'll tell you this. It was his parents. It was somebody that was real close to him. That was who lost sight of him. You know what else I get to thinking about? This is just practical stuff here, but just stay with me for a little bit. I told you, we really are just winding up, so okay, just bear with me. You know what else? I get to thinking about this. I don't know if it had been anybody else in the whole Bible that would be any more versed and established in some of the fundamental doctrines as Mary and Joseph. Do you really think there's another woman alive that knew more about the virgin birth than Mary? You ever thought about that? I mean, if anybody knew about it, she knew about it. Amen? Do you think anybody else in the Bible, her and Joseph, do you think anybody else in the Bible knew anything more about the virgin birth or that anybody else knew anything more about the deity of Christ? I mean, she had a pretty good idea of what was going on, didn't she? Amen. She was there when the angel came and said, the Holy Ghost is going to put this holy thing in you, the Lord Jesus Christ and all that. And I mean, she was the one that was prophesied, the virgin that was going to bear the Lord Jesus Christ. She knew exactly what was going on. Joseph knew exactly what was going on. When he was going to put her away privily, or privately, however you say that, when he was going to put her away, the angel comes to him and he says, no, don't do this. This is of the Lord. Everything's fine. Amen. Sure. And you know what? They still lost sight of it. I'm going to tell you what. You say, Brother Jared, I've sat in Sunday school here and listened to straight Bible teaching and preaching for however many years. Brother Jared, I've read this book, and I know my doctrines, and I know the truths, and I know the fundamentals. And Brother Jared, I know rightly dividing, and I know where this goes. Listen, you can get to a point where you know where, buddy, you can take every single verse, put it right dispensationally where it's supposed to go. You know exactly how to divide it. You know this is talking to these and this is talking to these. And before, listen, just because you know the doctrines don't mean that you still have your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I warned you tonight. They had been with him. By the way, they had been with him for 12 years at this point. I mean, it ain't like he was just born. Matter of fact, they might have just got so used to him just kind of being there where they didn't look for him like they should. Y'all, you can get so used to it and you can get so accustomed to it. This is why we have revival. When we come in here on a night where we wouldn't normally be listening to preaching, and we listen to it and we get to thinking, it gets our wheels turning, and we think, you know what, maybe. Listen, that's what it would mean to have revival, I believe, in 2018, is that Christians get their eyes back on the Lord Jesus Christ and get their fellowship back with Him. Is that right, brother? Man, we ain't looking for it. You know, we're not going to say that we had revival because we're looking for the, we're going, boy, you know, after this meeting, and it's going to protract out for the next 4 weeks, and we're going to have 800 people saved, and we're going to bust out walls, and we're going to have to add on. Hey, man, hey, that ain't, we're not looking for that kind of meeting, that kind of revival. Wouldn't that be great if that happened?
Sure, amen.
You know what else would be great? You know what Jesus would be real happy about? If you got your eyes back on Him. I mean, they knew their doctrine, man. You ever been around people? Have you ever been around Christians like this? My God, I don't want to turn into one of these. I don't want to turn into one of these where, man, they know the Bible inside and out. They can quote you a verse on everything. And they sit in church and they look like this.
Yeah.
You seen them kind?
Yeah.
I mean, buddy, they know that book. But you get up, you sing about, boy, I got the joy of the Lord. And I got the joy down in my heart. No, that ain't the joy. That's heartburn or something you got, man. That ain't joy. That's acid reflux. My God, you follow on, man? Ain't nobody wanting that. No, nobody's wanting a Christianity like that. Amen. You know what happened to that person? There was a time when they first got saved. There was a time when that grouchy, sour individual that you know that knows the Bible from Genesis to Revelation had first gotten saved. And they did have the joy down in their heart. And along the way, something happened. And they learned that book. And they know the doctrine. They know the truth. They've been all up around Him. They've been near Him. But they got their eyes off of Him. Amen. Amen. You say, Brother Jared, is that me tonight? Listen, only you know that. You know why? Because you can fake a smile and make me think that you do got the joy. But only you know if you're walking with Him when you go home. Now, what about this? What about this? They had all that and they still lost fellowship. They knew the doctrines. They'd been with Him for 12 years. They were close to Him and they still lost sight of Him. Now, what about this? What about the location where they lost Him? Look what it says in verse 46. Came to pass that after 3 days they found Him in the temple. Do you know where they lost Him at? They had went up to the feet. He was in the temple. Where they lost Him in the temple. You know what that'd be a type of? Now I know that in the New... Let me just go ahead and say it. I know that in the New Testament, you know, that our body's a temple of the Holy Spirit and all that. It's a good picture, though, I believe, of the church house. You realize you can lose sight of Him in the church house? Amen. Amen. You say, well, now, Brother Jared, I just don't know about all that. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, I'm talking about just... And I'll tell you just like I do when I'm talking to Him at Pleasant Grove. It's exactly how I say it. Don't raise your hand. Don't even blink or anything like that. Don't give any indication. Because you'll never in your life, nobody in this room, will ever give an account to me. But the things that we preach and we say is to make you get closer to Him. So between you and Him, what did you come to the temple, the church house for tonight? No, I mean, just ask yourself that. Why did I come here tonight? You say, well, I heard Brother So-and-so was going to be here and I wanted to see him. Or I knew Sister So-and-so was going to be here and I wanted to talk to her. Or so-and-so, I was going to get that neck hug from him when I got there. That's what my aunt used to talk about, neck hugs. You know what I'm talking about? That is Southern, buddy, right there. That's Deep South. Give you a neck hug. Specific. I was going to get me that neck hug tonight. I hope Brother Jared didn't brought them babies. I just can't wait to see them babies. Amen. Amen. I mean, we're joking around a little bit. But what'd you come for? What did you come for? Listen, you can come to church and not be here to see Jesus. You can come to have seen everything else. You can come to have heard what's the preacher going to do. Is he going to say something funny? Are they going to sing that song that brings a tear to my eye that's talking about grandma crossed over or something like that? Amen. Amen. Did you come to get a glimpse of Him? Listen, that is the only time that even preaching itself is going to help you at all. It's the only time that it's going to help you is if you come to get a glimpse of Him. Amen. When you come on Sundays, I'm glad you're here tonight. Obviously, you want to get something. Surely you wouldn't be here on a Monday night just to get a neck hug from somebody. But you know what? If you're not careful, you pop in on Sunday, and it turns into routine. And we didn't come here to, and we know the songs. Amen. We know the song. We can sing. Who in here can sing the hymns without a book? Anybody here sing them without a book? That's a good thing. I mean, it's good to know those. That's wonderful. It's like learning poetry. It's a wonderful thing. But if you're not careful, you'll start mouthing the song. You ain't really singing as unto the Lord. People say, well, I'm just here to make a joyful noise and all that. Well, then make one. Amen. Go ahead and sing them as unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. And you know what they did? They went to the... Now look, here's another thing that happened. They got there to the temple, and he's there with them in the temple. But listen to me. When they left, he was there in the temple. When they left, they did not take him home with them. I mean, the Lord can be in here tonight stirring around and moving, and we can sing a good song, somebody shout, and the Holy Spirit move. Are you going to take him home with you? I'm talking about his presence and the walk with him, the fellowship. I know we say, yes, oh yeah, he's going with me everywhere, Brother Jared. I understand that. There's a difference in the Lord and the presence of the Lord. When Jonah was fleeing, he knew he couldn't flee from God. God was with him down in that fish's belly. He knew he could not flee from God. What he was trying to get away from was the presence of God. You with me? And I'm asking you this, what about when you go home? Are you practicing being in his presence when you go home? You want to fellowship with him and talk to him when you go home? Listen, one, thank God that we don't have a lie preached to us like they do in Catholicism. The preacher that I was under for several years, my pastor, he would say this. He'd say he grew up Catholic. And here's what he would say. He'd say, when I went to the church, I went to Mass. He said I'd get there at Mass. He said they'd do all their little hocus-pocus stuff. And then they would come around here, and he said they had this little old bitty box. Thank God, I've never seen this happen. I mean, if you've never seen this done in church, you ought to say amen. Amen? Thank God. Thank God I've never seen them do this. Said he'd reach over, and they'd open up his little door, and they'd reach in, and they'd take them wafers out and that wine. And he said, you know, now they believe that's actually Jesus Christ, the body and blood of Christ. He said, we'd all come around and receive that stuff and all that. He said, then they'd do this when they got done. He said, and we left Jesus in there till next week. He said, in my mind, that's where Jesus was at. See, that's where we receive him. That's where we communicate with him. That's where we go to confession, find us a priest so we can get, you know, our sins forgiven and all that good stuff. See, everything takes place there around that church. You know what's a blessing? When you get saved, you get put right over into the body of Christ. Jesus Christ does come down inside of you and begin to dwell. You don't just have to be at church to meet with him. It'd be a real good thing if you'd take him home with you tonight. Amen. When you get to the house, instead of turning whatever on that you want to turn on, I ain't trying to preach a bunch of that stuff and all that. I'm honestly not way off the deep end, and so just chill out. But you know what? You'll decide if you fellowship with him tonight before you go to bed. It'll be up to you. There's nobody to point a finger at. There was nobody for Mary to point a finger at and say, well, you know, if it hadn't been for... No. Why didn't you keep your eyes on him? Amen. Amen. Listen to me, just because you're in a spiritual church or just because you have a spiritual pastor does not mean that you're necessarily going to be spiritual. Your walk with God is personal between you and him, if you'll keep your eyes on him or not. Just because you've been with him 12 years, that don't mean that you're automatically going to keep your eyes on him. Amen. Just because you've got a position. She had a pretty good position in his life. This is his mom. Just because you got a position don't mean that you'll keep your eyes on him. And what about the manner in which they lost him? Look right there in verse 44. The Bible says, but they... It's interesting right here to me. The Bible says, verse number 44, but they supposing him to have been in the company. Just supposed that he would just be there. I mean, just took for granted that he was just going to be there. There's no need in looking for him. There's no need in intentionally taking him home. We just suppose that he's going to be there. Listen, they get busy there, and the Bible says there, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintances. You know what? Maybe they just kind of got to doing other stuff. You know what we do as the season changes through the year, January to December, as the seasons change, we have all these different things that we're interested in all year long. And you know what? The majority of it is what I would say just basically neutral. You couldn't really make it bad. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I don't care if it's hunting season, fishing, baseball, football, Thanksgiving, Christmas. Y'all know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, whatever those different seasons are and the things that we like to do. Listen, there's nothing wrong with anything that I just said. Could you say amen right there?
Amen.
Help yourself. Say amen. Man, you got liberty in Christ.
Amen.
Got liberty in Christ. There ain't nothing wrong with them walking around talking to the kinsfolk.
Right.
I mean, they traveled there with kinsfolk. It said they sought him among the kinsfolk. So no, they're having a little family reunion, kind of, you know, killing two birds with one stone. Amen. Had a little fish fry going. All right. Amen. As long as it had scales and all that. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen?
Amen?
There's nothing wrong with them just going about their carnal daily activities. And I didn't say wicked.
Right.
I just said carnal.
Right.
Just normal stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, if you're not careful, just with the family reunion, getting together,
right,
having a big old time, if you're not careful, you'll lose sight of Jesus right in the middle of all of it. Right in the midst of all of it. Man, I've been to some good meetings before. Good preaching meetings, brother. Be a whole bunch of guys there and lose sight of him in the fellowship time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, honestly, where it's like, Lord, hell, I mean, it'd be 3 or 4 days and I ain't hardly cracked my Bible open. Why? We've been so busy. Amen. You can lose him. You can lose him right in the midst of all them activities. Got all kind of stuff coming up, man. Ball season and stuff and all that kind of stuff. Just be careful in the midst of all that you don't lose him. Right in the middle of what's going on. You know what else? It might have been some kind of carnal activity. They was there with their kinsfolk. They might have just been fellowshipping, having a good time, catching up. Or, you know, they were there for the Passover. That's a spiritual activity. Amen. Y'all, you can lose sight of the Lord even in spiritual activity. Say, how do you know that? I've done it. You know who did it? You know who's the best example, I think, in the Bible of that? When we look at Mary and Martha. Is that right? Jesus comes into the house. Now, let me ask you this. Could Martha see Jesus from the kitchen? Probably not. Could Mary see him sitting at his feet? Uh-huh. So what's she doing? Listen. Let me tell you when you know you've lost sight of Jesus. Is everybody ready? All right, really? This is how you know you lost sight of him at the church house in the midst of spiritual activity. You ready? Now, this is when we knew that Martha lost him. Mary's sitting there at Jesus' feet. And he even said that she chose a good thing. All right? She's sitting there at his feet listening to him, worshiping him, looking at him, talking to him, fellowshipping with him, got her eyes on him, and that's all she's worried about is seeing him.
Amen.
Now, don't you think that if he would have said, would you go in there and make me some biscuits and bring me something to drink? Don't you think she'd have got up and done it?
Yep. Amen.
But she's waiting for him to say it.
Right.
Now, what Sister Martha's doing is she's trying to get noticed on how busy she is. Now this is when you can know. Here's a good evaluator that you ask yourself this. When you're over here in the kitchen and you're being Martha and you're working, now this applies to men too. And you're saying this, Jesus, it's what she said, Jesus, Mary won't help me in the kitchen. Jesus, I'm the only one around this place that does anything at all. I mean, you know what they say, 10% of the people do 90% of the work, and I'm in the big 10. Matter of fact, I feel like I'm doing 95 of it by myself, Jesus. Look how blistered my hands are. What's she doing? Yeah, wearing out the seat of her britches over is what she's doing nothing. Everybody okay? Jesus, I'm the only one around this church that does anything. I have to cut the grass, and I have to do this, and I've got... When we bring a fellowship, Sister So-and-so, she brings a little old bitty dish. I always bring a big old dish or something. Amen. I'm trying to help you.
Yeah.
Do you know what your problem is? Do you know why you're acting like that? You're acting like that the same reason that Martha was acting that way. If Martha would have laid everything down and went and found her place at the feet of Jesus, when he got hungry, he would have let her know.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, if her heart was right, brother, I believe it would have been like this. She's over here working, saying, man, I got to get this done. I got to get in there and see Jesus. But this right here, I know in my heart is what he wants me to be doing right now. So I'm fulfilling the will of God in here. Boy, I can't wait to get in there and see him. Man, I hope Martha, I'm going to ask Martha what he said when I get in there. Boy, that's good. Listen, if she would have been right with God, she'd have had the peace of God in the kitchen. If you don't have the peace of God in what you're doing for God, chances are your heart is not right with God. Amen. If you've got to look at everybody else and evaluate what they're doing and check them out and pointing fingers, and bless God, I'm the only one around this place trying to do anything at all for God. Listen, you might not even be working for God.
Right.
We don't even know that Jesus was all that hungry.
Amen.
But we do know that Martha was trying to get noticed. Why is that? Because of the way she reacted. In other words, Jesus is right there in the house, and Martha can't get a glimpse of him. Do you know who she could see real plain, though, from the kitchen? Mary. Listen, when you're in the kitchen, full of bitterness and anger and wrath and malice and all that kind of stuff, you can see you, and you can see Mary, but you cannot see him. You cannot see him. Now, I'll tell you, you can just go ahead and just assume and suppose and all that, that he's in the midst. And you can get real busy, cumbered about with much serving, and the next thing you know is you'll be lost sight of Jesus Christ. Y'all, I'm going to tell you what, there's nobody that believes in doing the Lord's work and church work and all that any more than myself. I believe in it. Matter of fact, if everybody quits doing stuff, I mean, honest to God, you might as well just go home. If people weren't giving, if people weren't helping, if people weren't cleaning, if people wouldn't keep the babies, if people wouldn't cut the grass, I mean, good night, you might as well just go to the house. I believe in that. But the better thing to do is to make sure that you're walking with him. And you're looking at him, and don't ever let anything, spiritual work or carnal work, cause you to lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, why do you warn us of that? Because I've done it. Maybe you've done it. Maybe tonight. You say, you know what? I believe I ain't been spending too much time with him. Been going to church. Been doing spiritual things, but I ain't been taking him home with me. Amen. You have to keep working at your fellowship with the Lord all the time. It's a constant struggle. Don't we say stuff like this? Everything in this world has come against the home today to try to bust up the home. Don't we say stuff like that? Don't we think that that's true? How about everything in the universe comes against you trying to break up your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. People say, marriage is work, man. Marriage is work. And I'll tell you what, when you've been married about 15 minutes, you start realizing that marriage is work. Amen. Y'all were dating? Oh, I better be careful. Oh, I better be careful. I've deviated from the notes. You're dating, and you think, you know, man, this is just the greatest little thing in the world. And you get around her mom, and you think, Lord, help. How in the world did this lady produce this little sweetheart? And then you give her 4 or 5 years. Never mind. You give 4 or 5 years and he's turned into his daddy. That's pretty much the way it is. You know what? You got to keep working at that. Don't you have to work at that? Man, sometimes you got to bring some flowers home. Amen. Amen. I mean, we ain't preaching on the home and I'm drawing a parallel. You know what? Sometimes you got to go home and say, hey, baby, and go home and get you a shave and put on your nice clothes and all that and say, let's go out for a real good dinner. Amen. We done found us a little spot, too, haven't we? We found us a little spot. And it's a good little drive from where we live, but we'll go over there, and it's a real special time. And it's way too expensive. Way too expensive. We ought not even be going there. We ain't got no business going there. But try to do little stuff like that. You know what? When's the last time you just had a little special time with Jesus? why. You've got to struggle and fight and push and push. Push past the devil. Push past the cares of this life. Push past the job and push past recreation. You've even got to push past the family. The devil will use that against your relationship with him. You say, well, I got to do something with the kids. Listen, you will not be a good father unless you're walking with God. You got to push and push and struggle. Everything tries to come between that relationship. A scratch and dig and claw with everything that you've got to try to stay in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about right there, the result of losing him? The result of losing him. Look right there in verse number 48. When they said, and when they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And say, why were they sad? Well, they were sad because they had lost sight of Jesus. Have you lost the joy of his salvation? That's what caused them to sorrow when they couldn't find him. And by the way, they walked away one day's journey, and it took him 3 additional days to find him. You see that? Right there in the text. In other words, when you begin to start that thing of drifting, and I'm not saying it takes you that long to get right and get your fellowship back established. That's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is this, is when you start letting some things go, y'all know what I'm talking about? Just start easing along, and you lay down that night and it's getting real sleepy, and you're about to fall asleep, and you realize, I did not read my Bible any today. I know that we ain't on a checklist kind of Christianity. Y'all know what I'm saying? Like, you know, well, I got to go knock out my chapter so I can check my box and I'll read through my Bible in the next 30 days. I mean, y'all probably do that, don't you? Every 30 days you go, no, I'm kidding. Don't nobody do that. Nobody does that. But listen. But I got to go hit my little checkbox. But listen, you better catch yourself. Once you've spent a day or two and you begin to drift and you begin to float, listen, it won't be long before you realize, man, it's been 3 days since I picked my Bible up. And you keep on drifting, and you think, I need to go get it right now. I need to just put my flesh down and go in there and read that book. And you say, well, let me go. And I told you, you got to dig. You got to claw. You got it, man. Your worst enemy is going to be you. And you got to dig and scratch and claw and say, you know what, I've got some time. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to sit down. I'm not going to see how much I can get through. I'm going to see if maybe some of this would get through me. I don't care if I go through 3 verses. I might turn over to Psalms and go nice and slow like we preached about yesterday morning and spend some time meditating on the Word of God. Not seeing how much we can get through. Who cares about that, man? You don't even know what you read when you got done. But you take your time and chew through that and meditate on it and think about it and say, Lord, I just want to spend a few minutes with you. I ain't got long, but I'm going to spend a few minutes with you. You know what you're doing? You're working on that fellowship. Y'all, if not, I'm afraid there's probably people in here tonight that you might actually feel embarrassed if it really was publicized how long it's been since you did open up your Bible outside of the church. Spend some time with the Lord. Now let's just call it what it is now. Amen? So, yeah, Brother Jerry, we good Baptist people. Now we go to church on Monday night. Praise God, but I'm asking, are you taking him home with you? I mean, since you've shut the door and say, Lord, I'm just coming here to talk to you a few minutes. Lord, I was just in there looking at my kids. I just want to thank you, Lord, that their eyes work. I just want to thank you, Lord, that they can talk to me. I just want to thank you, Lord, Lily had that surgery done. And Lord, we were in and out of the hospital, but Lord, it's over now. And they said her kidney's going to be fine and she's going to be just fine. Amen. What is that? That's when you get by yourself. You got to scratch and dig and claw for those moments, though. You got to claw at it, and you got to try to stay in fellowship with him. You know, there's times where I even have to stop. I'm trying to get Sunday school together, and we're digging and working and stuff, and I'm thinking, oh, I can draw this on the board, and we can, you know, and this, and I'm grabbing this book. There's even times in the midst of that, Brother Keith, I have to just stop. Say, Lord, I ain't even stop and talk to you about the Sunday school lesson. Amen. I mean, in the midst of even something spiritual, y'all. So what are you saying, Brother Jared? I'm asking you tonight, are your eyes on him? Are you taking him home with you? Are you fellowshipping with him? Can you still see him good and plain? Amen. Now, I didn't ask, do you know all the doctrines? I didn't ask, can you give me the Baptist distinction, distinctives. I ain't asking all that. I ain't asking you for you to give me dispensations and all this deep truth out of the Bible. See, Mary knew a little bit about doctrine, didn't you?
Amen.
More about it than we do, a couple of them things. But she still lost sight of him. And then they started doing what? They started sorrowing. You said, Brother Jared, I ain't got no joy. Listen, I didn't ask about your circumstances. Right. Y'all, there's some people in here tonight. There's some people in this room tonight that's going through some stuff. Amen. That I know personally. There's some people over at Pleasant Grove that, I mean, they're catching it, buddy. But in the midst of that, you can still have the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
If you'll keep sight of him. You know what invokes the sorrow in Brother Dennis? What causes that sorrowing is when we're not looking at him. And we get our eyes on him, and then we feel the joy come back. Circumstance didn't change at all. Everything's just as bad, maybe going to get worse. But he's right there. As long as you know he's right there. Brother Dennis got some confirmation on his father just a little while ago. Amen. That he knows that when the Lord does, when it's time, and the Lord decides when it's time, that he's also going to come by and pick his daddy up and take him with him. Boy, that right there. See, we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. Why? Because we got our eyes on him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, they're sorrowing. Takes them a little bit longer to get to him than what they thought. And I'll tell you this, and we'll give you this, and then we're winding down. You know what she did right there in verse number 48? You know the first thing that she does? Now watch it. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Jesus, what were you thinking? We were here at the Passover. We've been doing right. We've been going to church. And you ain't been near me. You know what she did immediately? She blamed him. She immediately blamed him. I mean, surely you don't come to church anymore and blame the preacher for not getting fed. Amen. He just can't bring it like he used to. I'll tell you what, I guarantee you, Brother Keith's bringing it better than he ever has.
Yeah,
amen. I'd bet you money on that. And listen, the problem may be you start pointing at everybody else. I ain't getting nothing in it. Well, Jesus, it's your fault. Or that preacher or that. Listen, you'll find somebody else to blame.
Yeah.
Why? Because you done got your eyes off the Lord.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
their fault. Matter of fact, I don't even care for New Hope Independent Baptist Church anymore. What's wrong with you, man? What's wrong with you? Who are you looking at? You're looking at Mary? You're looking at the preacher? Where are you looking at? Listen, it ain't the Lord's fault.
Amen.
The Bible says you draw nigh to God and then God draws nigh back to you.
Amen.
It's up to you to make the first move back toward him. Where did they lose him? In the temple. And you know where they found him. Exactly where they lost him.
Yeah.
Exactly where they lost him. You know the good news and the upside to the whole thing? You say, Brother Jared, I ain't in fellowship with God no more. There may be somebody here like that tonight that you, if you were going to be honest, you'd say, you know what, preacher? You don't have to tell me this, ever. Ain't even none of my business. If you'd be honest, you'd say, Brother Jared, I'm not looking at the Lord in fellowship with him like I did at one point in time. I've gotten my eyes off of him. Matter of fact, I'm feeling that sorrow. I come to church and no, I don't really get much anymore. Yeah, I do point fingers at the brethren. Yep, I do. I do get in the car, and if I don't say anything, I'm at least thinking something about the sermon that was preached on Sunday. I didn't get nothing out of it. Amen. And Lord, what is it? I'm trying, and that's where it finally degenerates down to. When you can't find anybody else to point a finger at, you'll point a finger at him. In the end of the sorrow, you finally point a finger at him. When you've run out of fingers to point, well, it's this one, it's this one, Brother so-and-so, and it's sister so-and-so, and it's this right here, and it's my mom or my dad or my wife or my kids or whatever it is. And when you finally run out of fingers, it'll be like, why in the world are you allowing that? Well, see, when she finally did see him, she saw him in the wrong light. Now listen. But you know what the good news is? Once she comes back, and she's even upset when she finds him, look how he deals with her. 48, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which spake unto them. But then this is what happens next. And he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. You see that? When they finally got back to the place where they had lost him, they finally got the thing worked out between them two. It wasn't between her and Joseph. It wasn't between her and the preacher. It wasn't between her and Sister Martha, Mary, whoever. It was something that needed to be worked out between her and Jesus Christ. And they finally got it worked out. He said, all right, you want me to go home with you now? Yeah, we want you to come with us now. Come on. And I guarantee you that mama didn't take her eyes off of him the whole way home. Amen. Amen. Now, you know what? If you've lost sight of him tonight, you say, boy, we want revival. We want revival. You get your eyes back on him. Amen. There was this Institute for the Blind that they had built the place, and they built it. It was cheaper, I guess, for insurance purposes to build it with no windows in it. And it was to accommodate blind folks that couldn't see. So it kind of didn't matter now, did it? And they said over time they realized when people moved in there, they started getting sick. And they finally had some doctors come in and check the whole thing out, and they determined that they had to bust out a whole bunch of walls, a whole bunch of places, and put windows in that place. You say, well, then people couldn't even see it. Well, maybe not, but all I know is when they started letting that sunlight come in, they started getting well. And y'all, you say, Brother Jared, I'm really going through it, and I've been dealing with that sorrow, or I've been dealing with that, you know, I've been in that way. I've been real irritable like Martha. I've been pointing fingers at everybody else. Maybe in your heart or with your lips, you've been pointing fingers at the preacher. Amen.
Amen.
You haven't been pointing fingers at your wife, have you? You haven't been pointing fingers at your husband, have you? Maybe the kids. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Y'all, chances are what the problem is maybe you've just lost sight of Jesus.
Amen.
If you just let a little sunlight in, you might get well too.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Keith, would you come?
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Let's all stay.
We'll have a time of invitation.